This is the Triad Podcast Network.
All right, thanks for downloading another Creative Conversation. We are back with our first episode of 2020 with the Arts Council of Winston-Salem and Forsyth County. Yeah, big day. This is going to be a fun way to start off the year because we're talking with Matt Cosma. He's our guest today. He's the co-founder and music director for the Camel City Jazz Orchestra. We're going to talk about the Jazz Orchestra and a really cool event that they're doing. If you're listening to this, hopefully you're listening to this before Valentine's Day. And if you are, there's a really cool event that they're doing for Valentine's Day that we'll get into here in just a moment. We're also talking with Connie Quinn. She's joining us again. She's the Senior VP of Administration and Marketing for the Arts Council. Hello to both of you. Glad you're with us.
Hello.
All right. Well, Connie, we're going to get to know at least a little what's up lately with you. This is a return appearance for you on the show. But Matt, first time. Long time for you. Yes. So tell us a little bit about yourself as the kind of what got you into this line of work, how long you've been in Winston-Salem, and a little bit of your background, as much as you'd like to share here to start us off.
We're in okay. Trouble already.
Yeah. Well, I've been in Winston-Salem since 1991 and playing music around town all that time. And was... many years later, but quite a few years ago, that Camel City Jazz Orchestra started. Uh-huh. So that was in 2011. And the way that started, I think Connie was there.
I was there.
We were at Tate's, and there was a bunch of opera board members there, and Jill Strickland, the other co-founder who I had just met, was also there.
Who he's now married to, by the way.
Right. And I said, wouldn't it be great if Winston-Salem had a big band that was a nonprofit organization like the opera or the symphony? And she said, you want to do it? And I said, yeah. And so here we are.
I would imagine there's a lot of great ideas that get hatched at Tate's.
Probably.
Whiskey helps lubricate everything. Yeah.
I understand that I learned this right before we pushed the record button. I understand the two of you have been friends for a very long time. So, Connie, you've got to have some more color that you can add to a little to introduce the listening audience to Matt.
So Matt is a very old and dear friend of mine. He is too humble in his description of himself. He is a complete amazing, that's not the descriptor I would use if we weren't talking to other people, an amazing musician, incredibly talented. And if you ever have the opportunity to see Camel City Jazz Orchestra perform, he is one of the highlights of the show. Entertaining, mesmerizing, and makes the audience, just the incredible ability to make the audience feel like they have known him their entire lives.
That's really cool.
He's the guy you want to go have a beer with.
Yeah. Okay.
I had no idea. Thanks,
yes.
Connie.
Should have known that before we did the podcast. We could have
had a beer.
Exactly. Who knows? This could take it to another level from an entertainment value if we had a little liquid courage. So Matt, you told us kind of how the idea started, or right, where the conversation started in terms of creating this Camel City Jazz Orchestra, this big band type of concept. What more can you share in terms of how you went from idea to it actually becoming a reality?
Sure, yeah. Jill and I worked on it. I worked on the music side, putting the band together, getting music together, with much help from Cameron McManus, who's still with us and vital to the music side. Mm-hmm. And Jill, through her brilliance and connections, got us a nonprofit set up, and so that was the beginning of it. And at the first board meeting, I didn't have a band, and they were asking me questions, and I couldn't answer any of those. I don't have a band yet.
They also had incredible help from the community in setting up the 501c3. Yes. And getting all the bylaws established for the organization from the ground floor. The community was very much in favor of seeing this big band come to life in Winston-Salem and stepped up to help make that happen.
Yeah, that was going to kind of be my next question, which was, I mean, there's some logistics that you've got to get figured out as you learn how to do this for the first time, but from both of your perspectives, it sounds like the community was overwhelmingly in favor of this being something to add to the arts scene in Winston-Salem.
The very first concert was a sellout. Am I not mistaken about that?
Yes.
Here at Haynes Brands
that's
Theater.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was our first Christmas concert.
Okay. So we're going to get into a little bit more about what's coming up this season for the Camel City Jazz Orchestra. But let's take another step back real quick. And you said you've been in Winston-Salem since the early 90s, correct?
Right.
What are some of your favorite things to do in the city?
Recently, in Washington Park neighborhood, where I live, we have Acadia Foods that evolved from the original Washington Park, which is a great place to go. Mm-hmm. They have amazing food. And of course, Swaim's next door is my local hangout.
So if you want to go have a beer with Matt, you know where to make that happen.
That's where you can find me.
Okay. very good.
I can walk there.
Yeah. Anything that folks should be going to see? We're going to talk about your performance coming up over Valentine's Day weekend. But what are some of the things that people, for both of you, what are some of the things that folks should be taking in right now in the city? And I love the fact that we're talking just a couple days now after Salem Parkway reopened. And so it's added a nice little boost to downtown and people having a lot easier time getting here. But Connie, what are some of the things that people should be checking out right now, early in 2020?
So early 2020, right now on campus, we have Little Theater doing a Gentleman's Guide. So if you've not seen that, really fun show, just a feel good, easy thing to come check out. They always do a nice job. Coming up in March, we have all kinds of incredible things. Piedmont Opera is doing The King and I, and they are very close to being sold out. So if you want your tickets to that, you should make that happen quickly. That'll be an incredible show. They have in the cast Nia Franklin, who is the reigning Miss America. So that's kind of exciting. Also coming up in March, Festival Ballet will be doing Grimm. So based on some old, not-so-delightful children's fairy tales. Mm-hmm. And if you've never seen them perform, they're also just amazing. And River Run kicks off a little early this year, also in March. And we will be our Arts Council campus here will be the hub for River Run this year, and we're super excited about that. So lots of incredible things coming up.
That's great. All right, so we've teased it already. Let's talk about this performance that's coming up, as well as some other things happening this season with the Camel City Jazz Orchestra. So, Matt, tell us about this annual, fourth annual, is that right? The Valentine's Day show that you're doing. Tell the listeners a little bit about it.
Okay, it's at Millennium Center on Valentine's Day, and it is dinner dance.
Okay.
So it's a seated dinner. We're doing food stations this year. We'll play two sets, a dinner set and a dance set, basically.
Okay.
And it's just a really nice, laid back, fun, perfect date night for Valentine's Day.
Tickets still available?
Tickets are still available.
Okay.
Yes.
So if you're listening to this, and again, ideally you're listening to this before Valentine's Day, and you're still looking for something to really blow it out for that special somebody, this is a really cool way to experience food and culture and music and just have a really fun time. Connie, what do you know about?
I know. Go ahead.
I was just going to say ticket sales end February 9th.
Okay. All right. So we put this out.
You can't get tickets at the door.
So we're recording this on the 4th. We're putting it out hopefully within the next day or two. And so you still have a few days to get your tickets by the time you're downloading and listening to this.
So here's what I know. If you are trying to do something fun to earn points with your sweetie or your significant other, this is the way to make that happen. It is a super cool night, like you're not going to get anywhere else in town or anywhere else anywhere.
Yeah.
You roll in, you've got the food is yummy. The atmosphere is fun and fantastic. The music is great. You got dinner, dancing, some bubbly stuff when you arrive. It's a win. You are getting a slam dunk if this is where you take your sweetie for Valentine's Day.
You know, my wife and I haven't made plans yet.
I'm telling you, dude.
Yep.
All right.
Can't miss.
And the thing about it is if she doesn't listen to this right away, this may be a surprise.
There you go.
Even better.
Okay. All right. You've given me an idea. That's great. Matt, what else can you share in terms of how you go about planning for an entire season? So we talked about the event coming up on Valentine's Day, but you know, you got a full calendar ahead of you. So what can you say about what's to come in 2020 and how you've tried to arrange it?
Right now, the big thing for 2020 is the Beethoven concert, and that is May 9th.
Okay.
And it's part of the Beethoven Rocks Festival that's going on all year in Winston for Beethoven's 250th birthday. So that is a really big deal for us for a lot of reasons, but one is the amount, all of the music has to be written. All the music has to be arranged. Mm-hmm. So we've picked, have 10 people writing for this concert. And we picked, you know, each person picked one or more pieces, and they're going to arrange them for a 16-piece jazz band.
It's really cool.
So it's going to be straight-ahead jazz, big band Beethoven. All new arrangements.
That's a really cool twist on it.
It is so cool.
Yeah.
I've got some great arrangers working on it, too. Chad Eby is the music director, artistic director for the Piedmont Triad Jazz Orchestra in Greensboro. Mm-hmm. He's doing an arrangement for us. Vance Thompson is the executive director, trumpet player, arranger for the Knoxville Jazz Orchestra, and he's writing one and giving us one that he wrote previously.
Okay.
So that's just a couple of the highlights. And then Dan Hitchcock, our lead alto player, is doing two. Jay Meacham. The list goes on. It's a lot of great arrangers. So I'm excited about it.
Connie, what are you most excited about in terms of what the jazz orchestra is going to be planning for this year? Is it that Beethoven show?
So I would have to echo that in that, particularly as it pertains to the jazz orchestra, as a community, we generally have two opportunities a year to come out and see and hear the jazz orchestra perform. But with this addition of the Beethoven project this year, we're getting a third opportunity this summer or spring in May. Mm-hmm. You guys are partnering with the city on that, is correct? Is that correct?
Right.
So just to get a third opportunity to experience them in person, mm-hmm. I'm pretty excited about that. And the whole Beethoven project, and I know we're going to talk a little bit more about that, but that whole project is really exciting.
Yeah.
I was going to say about that. Oh, you asked about a season. We've never actually had a season. We typically do 3 to 4 performances per year, mm-hmm. And a lot of small group runouts. But we are working towards a season. We're working towards having 4 annual events. So
okay,
that would be a good season.
Yeah,
the two regular ones are Christmas and Valentine's. So. We have plans to expand on that.
So the themes or what you're trying to convey with each performance, you know, that might cater to certain people's tastes or what they like in terms of music. But if you were to give sort of the elevator speech of this is the type of experience you're going to get overall when you come see the Camel City Jazz Orchestra. I mean, people, if they like that style of music, that's one thing, but if they just want an overall experience, what do you say to people in terms of you're saying, hey, this is what we're about. This is what makes our ensemble, our band unique.
This Beethoven thing is definitely unique musically. We also are very traditional. Mm-hmm. I say very traditional, like Duke Ellington traditional, not Lawrence Welk traditional. but we love that music. Mm-hmm. And I've been really moving towards original arrangements. Not necessarily original tunes, but original arrangements, mm-hmm. so that when we play them, we're the only band that plays it like that, and that's what other jazz orchestras do, and it was hard for us for a long time because it's expensive to have a lot of music written, and we just couldn't afford it. So now we're a little better position to do that, a lot better actually. So that's really exciting, and that's what I would want people to know that they're going to get in the future when they come hear us is original arrangements.
Yeah. I noticed that on your website, you do have links to recordings, audio versions, video versions. Mm-hmm. Any particular favorites that you have from the past where if somebody's learning about you for the first time in this episode and you say, hey, go listen to this or go watch this on our website, and I think you'll really get a sense of what we can offer and maybe get them interested.
I'm not sure what's on there. I know there are some recordings from a Christmas concert or two. Any of that stuff, especially the Nutcracker Suite, any of those pieces are really highlight the band and is amazing music. So
yeah,
I definitely recommend that.
So if you go ahead.
The energy anytime these guys are in the room is incredible. The Christmas concert this year was hands down one of the best things artistically I've ever been to, and I get to go to a lot of fun stuff. Energy was incredible. I love the more traditional Nutcracker Suite stuff that Matt's talking about, but there was also an original sort of take on the Heat Miser and Cool Miser from, you know, when you were a kid and watched The Year Without a Santa Claus. The whole audience went wild when that thing happened.
Our bass player, Will Ledbetter, wrote that.
Oh, that's really cool.
So, you know, you're going to get some really traditional, high energy, fun, feel good jazz, but then you are also going to get something completely out of the box like that. Yeah. It's a one of a kind experience.
Yeah, I mean it's so founded on improvisation and just spontaneity and just, you know, that's the kind of feel that you get, I would imagine, coming into a show.
Especially with this guy leading the effort.
Yeah. So check out their website, Camel City Jazz Orchestra, and again, there are links to recordings, audio recordings, and videos of their performances if you want to get a sense of them for the first time before some of their upcoming shows. All right, so Matt, the orchestra, it's made community partnerships and collaborated with organizations over the life of the Camel City Jazz Orchestra. Tell us what you look for, because partnerships in this community are so crucial to making this all work. But what do you look for in these partnerships and the ones that have been successful?
In a word, symbiosis. And it's not hard to find. I mean, it just kind of naturally happens and has naturally happened a lot of times. And that's really it. I mean, you know, we're helping each other and towards a common goal, or at least some of our goals are very similar, no matter what the organization is, especially a nonprofit.
Sure. Connie, what are some of the partnerships, maybe as they relate to the jazz orchestra or others that, that you're excited about with the Arts Council right now?
So partnerships are, as we've already just discussed, just incredibly important to this community, particularly the arts community. We talked about the Beethoven Project a little bit earlier, but that is an arts community rich festival that's coming up next year, and as Matt said earlier, in celebration of Beethoven's birthday, and so many of the members of the arts community will be participating, and it is fun to see them come together and collaborate to make something big like that happen. Mm-hmm. And it'll be an exciting year to see that throughout the arts community. But it's also fun to see a group like the Jazz Orchestra partner with, you know, a community partner like the Millennium Center to bring you the Valentine's concert every year. We were fortunate to have them in-house in the new Reynolds Place Theater over in the Milton Road Center for the holiday concert this year. You guys have also, I know, partnered with SICA to bring that holiday concert. That's a great venue for that as well. So to just see those kind of partnerships come together, where it's not necessarily all the arts community, but it is the community as a whole coming together to make things happen. you know, there have been some fun collaborations, folks who just donate some or not donate, but let's just say give generously some design work for, mm-hmm. for, you know, fledgling organizations or smaller organizations that couldn't do these things on their own. And it's just, it's incredible to see the outcome of when people will come together. And when one group is richer because of something, it affects the whole group in a positive way. So we love to see that.
Yeah, that's really cool. So before we get to the end of our conversation, Matt, I want to maybe learn a little bit more, and hopefully our listeners do as well, about where your love of jazz came from. I mean, how far back does it go in your background in terms of how you became interested, how you became accomplished with this style of music?
Mostly because of my dad. He was a sax player, and he doesn't play anymore, but he gigged on the weekends for my whole life, and had a whole wall of jazz records and was playing jazz records constantly. And I started playing saxophone when I was six. And that was, you know, I just always loved saxophone solos. Jazz solos was a thing that struck me like nothing else in music. Mm-hmm. And that's still true. So that's where that comes from.
Yeah. Who are some of your favorite artists? Maybe, I mean, this might get into our next question, which is our dinner guest question, but who are some of the ones that you enjoy listening to?
I listen to Joe Henderson, Sonny Rollins a lot, those two guys. Stephen Riley is, and these are all tenor saxophone players. Stan Getz, of course. Those are the guys that I listen to the most, because that is generally how I want to play. Mm-hmm. You know, I listen to what I like. I try to play what I like.
Yeah.
Of course, there are many others that are great. You know, I could go on. That list is long.
Yeah.
But those are my top favorites, I would say.
Let me ask you this. If people are not in Winston-Salem, or they're traveling, but they want to have an experience with a jazz orchestra, or just find, you know, jazz music. I mean, if New Orleans always comes to mind in terms of places where you can go see this type of music in small venues. Mm-hmm. But if they're outside the city, what are some of the best places, best locales to go if you want to find a good, a city that really embraces this style of music, and you say, hey, I remember going to this location or this city, and this is a great spot that if I'm in this city, this is where I have to go to listen, to experience it.
What cities? Well, of course, New York is jazz central, mm-hmm. On earth. And, you know, any big city in the country.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's talk about, you took a trip a few years ago and fell in love with a city, not in the States, but have been back to play. A really cool story.
All right, let's hear it.
Oh, you're talking about Paris.
I am talking about Paris.
Yes. We went to Paris 2 years ago, Jill and I did, and I, of course, took my horn and sought out jam sessions. As soon as you find one and meet those guys, they're telling you about five more. So then the next thing you know, I'm out playing at jam sessions every night. And then we went back again a year later.
At invitation.
Well, I told some guys I was coming back, and they hired me for a gig. So that was cool. And then we're going back in 3 weeks, and I have two gigs.
That's amazing.
That's pretty exciting.
Very cool.
New Orleans, another place.
Yeah.
Went there last year and played with some amazing musicians.
If there are any aspiring musicians, jazz or otherwise, is there a piece of advice you might offer to somebody in terms of, hey, here are some things that I really enjoy that helped me to kind of appreciate this or get to the point that I am now?
Listen a lot. Listen specifically. Get out and play with people as much as possible, which is not easy to do. I had nobody to play with when I was growing up.
So how did you do it? How did you find it?
I didn't until I moved away from where I grew up. So, but yeah, get out and find people to play with. If you can't, there are a lot of play-along records. And I know if any jazz musicians, some jazz musicians would cringe if they heard me say that, but it's better than nothing.
Yeah, that's true. At least if you can't find anybody in person to play along with, you got to have something.
Yes.
Okay.
You can learn a lot that way.
Yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate you sharing those stories. And we are coming to the end of our conversation, so we do always ask the same question of our guests. Matt, we'll start with you. If you could have dinner with any artist, dead or alive, who would you choose and why?
It would have to be Charlie Parker.
Okay.
He's the father of bebop. He invented the music that I love.
What's the one thing you'd want to ask him?
That's a hard one. how do you do that? Yeah, I really don't know. I probably wouldn't be able to speak if I saw him. Yeah, he's bigger than life.
Okay, fair enough. Connie, you've got to give us another answer to this one.
All right, so I've done this a few times, and I try really hard not to repeat my answer.
It's tough.
I think I've floated out Elvis and mm-hmm. Johnny Cash. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember who the third one was, but in the spirit of following on the Super Bowl and powerful women in music and in art, I am going to go with Patsy Cline.
Okay.
Who was a forerunner and paved the way for a lot of today's ladies in music.
And what would you like to ask her?
Oh, I don't, maybe what her biggest challenge was as she was, you know, trying to mm-hmm. break through during that time. Or, hey, what's going on where you are now, Patsy? Or what, you know, how do you feel about what you see happening? Yeah. You know, who knows?
Okay. All right. Very good. Well, great answers, both of you. And thank you so much for sharing your stories and your information on this week's Creative Conversation. Again, if you want tickets to the upcoming Camel City Jazz Orchestra Valentine's show, it is on Valentine's Day. Tickets are on sale through February 9th. Should be a lot of fun and a great way to spend your Valentine's Day with the person that you want to spend it with. So Matt Cosma from the Camel City Jazz Orchestra and Connie Quinn from the Arts Council are guests today. Thank you both so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode on the Triad Podcast Network. For tons more local content, find our entire library on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Google Play, or Stitcher. And if you want to support the show and those that contribute, please take a moment to give us a rating, 5 stars preferably, and review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, spread the word and interact with us about what you've heard. You can find us at Triad Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
This is the Triad Podcast Network.